Hi, everyone. I'm Seth with Reps to Revenue, and we're here to connect CrossFit gym owners. Whether you're just dreaming about opening a box or been running one for years, Reps to Revenue dives into real stories of how gym owners turn their love of CrossFit into thriving businesses, sharing what worked, what didn't, and everything in between. I'm excited to welcome Tracy and Ferdinand, owners of CrossFit Firefly. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, you're welcome. We're happy to be here.
Yep.
Awesome. And we'll just start out, where are you guys located and when did you start your gym?
We're in Ukiah, California, Northern California, a couple hours north of San Francisco.
Okay.
In Mendocino County. And we affiliated 10 years ago. We were working out of our garage at the time. Started with a very small group of people and bopped to a couple of different places, slowly grew while not charging anybody any money. Because we weren't technically a legal business because we were, you know, in illegal spaces. And right. And then opened up our current facility in August 1st of 2019 with about 37 members.
Nice. I saw your box on your website. It looks really nice. Congratulations. What got you guys into CrossFit kind of originally? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Do you want to go there? I affectionately call it Ferd's or Ferdinand's midlife crisis. So we have three kids. And as I was pregnant with our third child, and we were kind of older parents, it was really a matter of wanting to be in our best shape as long as we can, to be able to keep up with our family and then all of the things we want to do in the world. Ferd was a glass blower for 30 years. I was a natural builder and a contractor for a long time. And so I say that Ferd fell in love ultimately with CrossFit in a similar way that he was in love with glass blowing. It's really about the physics of movement. And so as we got deeper and deeper into it and he became a trainer and then people started asking to train with him, we had a journey of a couple years of really deciding to close down our other businesses and really stick in town, which would let us be with our family more, travel less, and keep pursuing this passion of health and fitness.
That's a pretty good story. And you probably answered a couple other questions that I have here. So if this sounds a little redundant, bear with me here. And it sounds so next thing I kind of ask is like, what hooked you guys personally? But it sounds like you kind of answered that with, you know, just looking for a lot of things that people find in CrossFit is, you know, just, you know, there's a few things, community, of course, and then also really getting in shape too, which is, you know, really important. Is there a certain, what type of programming do you guys follow at your gym?
I programmed for about 8 years.
Okay.
Did all the programming and then trained with a woman who was training for the games.
Okay.
She had a coach through Training Think Tank. And so I trained with her for about 6 months on her program and got to know them a little bit. And then she gave me a spot that she had one of their training camps and I went and met the whole crew. I knew a couple of them from a previous training program that I'd been in and I really liked how they do things. So I decided to buy myself a little extra time every week and went to their affiliate programming. So we follow the Training Think Tank.
Mm-hmm. The Training Think Tank. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I filter it because, you know, any programming you buy, you know, nobody who writes that programming knows your community.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's a responsible thing to do. I go through everything very carefully and, you know, filter it down so that it works for the people under our roof.
Yeah. And before we went to Training Think Tank, I mean, we've tried a few different, while Ferd was writing all of our programming and really tailored to our community. Mm-hmm. And when CAP came out, we kind of looked at CAP. We knew people who had done a ton of Mayhem and some athletes who were part of our gym, who were part of the whole Mayhem programming. And before we really switched the gym programming to Training Think Tank, Ferd was also in their competitive athlete track.
Brute strength. I was working with
Brute strength
for a while.
Yep.
Actually, I did brute strength for about 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Personally.
So we'd kind of seen a lot out there. And so far their programming has just been great, and it's easy to tailor to all of the ages and needs in the gym.
Yeah, you have to be very, depending on, I've been to quite a few different gyms, and you know, it's good to have something that's really versatile. Because you know, you have somebody new come in and you're doing you know, overhead squats, or you know, and that's part of the programming. So I've seen a lot of things work and some things not work so well. So I did see on your banner there on your website, fitness, friendship, and fortitude. I really like that. That's a great motto to have. And then we'll talk, I know you mentioned it, but we'll talk a little bit about starting your gym. When did the idea to kind of, you said you started there at your garage, at your house. When did that, how did that start?
When I found CrossFit, I was in kind of a traditional, you know, Globo gym at the time, for a couple months, very bored. And the guy at the front desk was an MMA fighter. And I asked him if he knew, you know, of a better sort of program, something that was had a little more structure. And he sent me to a, you know, to a warehouse that was kind of an anti-CrossFit CrossFit gym.
Okay.
And went and did their on-ramp program. And the first class, I was like, you know, it was like, that was a done deal for me. Mm-hmm. And so that took me on a journey, fell in love with it, with what they were doing. 7 months later, ended up at South Lake Tahoe CrossFit, working with Del LaFontaine, and who's a games athlete, and he's 10 years older than I am. And I figured, well, if that guy, you know, if he's as in good a shape as he is, then I can be there when I'm his age.
Mm-hmm.
And he recommended that I go do the L1.
Okay. Which,
you know, I thought was just a seminar to learn more about CrossFit, but they actually had a really good structured CrossFit gym. You know, utilizing the methodology. And so I learned a lot just from being in a different space. And I was there for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
So from there, I did the L1. And then, and that really opened my eyes, like very wide. And then going back to my anti-CrossFit, CrossFit gym, I realized like there needs to be something better than where I was. We almost bought that gym. And a few months later, and that kind of fell through, and I decided it was time to leave. And then people asked if they could come to the garage.
So I'm sorry, maybe I didn't hear. You said you bought that gym?
No, we almost did.
We were
kind of looking at buying that particular facility, and then ended up not doing it and moved into the garage.
Yeah. Can I add a little bit?
So we moved there, and then some of the athletes asked to come and, you know, train with me. So
okay.
So that brought it out of that gym into ours. And then we started building our own thing.
Yeah.
Have you got something, Tracy?
Yeah. Well, going there, it turned out when he came back from the L1 and, you know, you do the test and all of a sudden you're a level one.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back and they were like, wow, you're the only level one in the area. Will you start coaching for us? And he was like, wait a minute, where am I working out? And so he did. He trained for a while. And the funny and great thing is there are three people who are in our lives and good friends. And they pulled him out into the parking lot one day and they said, hey, Ferd, you need to start your own gym. And they popped that question into his head. And that's where it went. And when we talk about the garage, it was literally like this garage and basement on a hill. The driveway into the garage is on a slope. And we just started training people for free. We affectionately for a few years called it home gym. And people could donate or come for free. There was, you know, whatever worked for them. And that built just an amazing community that started with two people and then went to four people and then went to 35 people. And we're pushing sleds up and down the hills and going to the local park down the street and doing running wads up into the hills. And that's when we really decided to kind of take it further and build a space. And the space that you see is our ultimate space, but it was also situated in our downtown, which Ukiah, Mendocino County in general, is one of the poorer counties in California. Ukiah, at the time, it's getting better. They've made a lot of changes, but it was pretty depressed downtown.
Mm-hmm.
The building that we remodeled was the number one blighted building in the city. So we renewed an entire block, have increased, you know, property values. All the buildings around us at this point have either been purchased or renovated and remodeled. And we were kind of the anchor, you know, building to take that on to help the community.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a lot more than just, you know, having a gym where people get fitness and actually revitalizing a whole entire block. Congratulations on that. And I think the next question I kind of had, you know, of course you said you started in your garage with two people, which is about the most organic way I've heard of a CrossFit gym starting. So congratulations on that. And then from you opening the doors there at your location that you just mentioned, can you tell me just a little bit about that journey that you had from going from there to, were you at your garage the whole time, for example, and then went to that, or what was that process like?
So the garage is 400 square feet. And I'm going to throw this in because it's kind of amusing. There were two places in the garage you could actually press a barbell overhead. One place was right in front of the bathroom door. So it was the only place you could snatch or anything. Because if you had to bail out, you had to open the bathroom door so that you could bail out backwards through the wall into the bathroom. Because it was pretty tight.
Uh-huh.
And then
it's a good way to learn good form, right?
You had to be precise.
Another spot, you had to actually press between two air ducts in the ceiling.
Okay.
So you had to, it made for some good stories. But we went from there. We were growing, and so we started looking for a building. And so we found the building that we're actually in now. And then we had to move houses, and the new house did not accommodate the gym.
Okay.
So we moved everything into this rather gross space that was part construction site.
Yeah.
And very cold in the winter, very hot in the summer. And we had a porta potty out back. I mean, it was pretty rough. And once we actually got enough into the construction process that we had to leave, we moved to a barn. And when we got to the barn, we actually set up a bigger, we set up more equipment.
It's an 8,000
square. And then we moved. And then once the current space was finished, the construction was finished, which took 4 years and was quite an endeavor, we moved back into that space.
Why did it take 4 years?
Because of the City of Ukiah.
Bureaucracy.
It was.
Let's just say.
Yeah.
Lots of issues.
Because we live in a city that's not super supportive of people opening new businesses.
They made it difficult for us.
I live in Hawaii. I'm in Hawaii. So we experienced same thing. I'm from Tampa, Florida originally. What takes about 3 months there takes about 3 years here. So,
there you go. Probably about the same.
Kind of how it is.
Yeah.
Having been a builder and worked in many counties around California and throughout the nation and in other countries,
mm-hmm.
the most difficult building department I've ever worked with.
Yeah. So I guess that would kind of, so that would kind of lead, did that cause funding problems, or did you guys kind of expect that it was going to take, did you guys expect it was going to take that long or?
No,
we definitely didn't expect it was going to take that long. We were still active in the barn with all the, you know, working out and everything and keeping that schedule. But with Tracy's background in building, she kind of played the role as general manager. Mm-hmm. And that actually saved a lot of time and money. And
we also still had, you know, our fingers in our other businesses at that time. Like my contracting company was still up for part of that time, but there was a moment definitely in the last year where it really tampered everything down and focused on that 100% to get it done. And it was 2 years off our projected hopeful timeline.
It's a long time.
Long time.
But you guys persevered, you know, you almost have to when you have situations like that. If you guys were going to do anything differently, if you had to start again today, what would you guys do?
Take it outside of the state of California.
Yeah. California, you know, as a state it's difficult for small business, let alone when you're in a local jurisdiction or county and then local jurisdiction that makes it hard. So yes, half joking, but that would have been a wise decision. Finding a place that, you know, really wants you to open a small business.
Right. That doesn't fight you tooth and nail. And
yeah. And aside from that, I mean, we didn't need to remodel a building. You know, that's kind of, in a way, the building is remodeling that building is really part of the personal side, but we knew it was going to be the home of, you know, the business, but there really wasn't another space to do it and get the facility and the amenities that we wanted.
Did you guys lease the building or did you purchase the building?
We purchased it.
Okay.
It was a dump. We purchased the dump. We should have torn it down. So that's one thing I would have done differently is I would have torn the building down instead of building it at all. I would have scraped the ground and started from scratch. The other thing I would have done differently is I would have started off with all Olympic quality bars. If you want to talk about equipment. I have one which I've had for 9 years and I have intentionally abused the living daylights out of it. And it is it's as good as new. And so I think the value, while it's more expensive up front, you get way more value out of buying a better barbell than standard, like run of the mill gym, like let's save some bucks barbell.
Yep.
So that's one thing I definitely would have done differently. Other than that, everything else is really pretty awesome.
Any equipment that you guys purchase that you don't really use, or do you guys use all your?
We use everything.
Good, good. I've been to a gym here or there where you just see a bunch of stuff piled up in the corner. I don't know if you've ever been to a gym like that, but yeah, really? Equipment's expensive too. Maybe you answered this already. How long have you been in your new space?
Well, you'll love this.
6 years.
We moved in August of 2019, ran into COVID. So that was a fun journey. After the second shutdown, maybe, we had interviewed all of our members.
Right after the first one.
After the first one. So just open. 2 weeks. We interviewed all of our members. All of our members said, no way, we feel totally safe. We want to keep coming. Don't shut down. This is how we manage our health, our comorbidities, our diabetes, our mental sanity. Mm-hmm. And we made a choice to not shut down. We were really, really politically involved with our congressional district, which goes from Marin County all the way up to the Oregon border. So we organized all of our affiliates, everybody who wanted to be a part of these roundtable discussions, to help recommend and write protocols for CrossFit gyms. We sent, you know, the governor, state, we even were in touch a lot with the federal lobbyist for CrossFit, the legislative guy, worked with him to kind of get early protocols in place to try to avoid what we were kind of seeing come down the pike, shutting down fitness. And then when it did, we just kind of threw our hands up and we were like, refocus locally and stay open. And we're glad we did. But it definitely put us a year off of our original goals. Like there are programs we didn't start, our studio program, because we have a beautiful dance studio, sprung floor dance studio. So, you know, yoga, whatever other studio teachers wanted to do, you know, that really suffered, that program. But the CrossFit program stayed strong and we, you know, built all the way back up to our original goals and programs. And now we're way beyond that.
That's great. Yeah, I was in Florida when COVID came and we were shut down for like 2 weeks. And then things pretty much continued. I know other states like California was affected gravely in some cases with that. So it sounds like you guys plowed through that and kept people at the gym working out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
We did. And no outbreaks. We didn't have a single outbreak.
Yeah.
It's great. Fortunately, we were very lucky. The renovation of the building, we did a very alternative HVAC system, which is constantly venting from the ceiling and bringing in fresh air. And we have no idea the benefit that that was going to hold for us around, you know, health, you know, around air quality and health.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was a big part of, you know, avoiding kind of spread.
I'm sure it helped big time. Yeah. You guys have AC in your gym?
Yeah.
Okay.
70 degrees in the summer, 63 in the winter.
Yeah.
Nice.
But for our space, you know, it's 9,000 square feet. I don't think we've ever paid over $350 a month any time of the year. It's so well built. Our building is beyond a LEED building. I am a big believer in insulation. So when we redid the roof, we really did a thick insulative roof and paid a lot of attention to the same thing Ferd is saying about the barbells, about putting money up front to kind of save us on those bills through the years.
Yep. There's the price of something and then there's the cost of something, right?
Yeah.
I'm a little jealous you got AC.
Yeah. Our summers, you know, regularly we've got 100 days, but we get up to 115 and
that's pretty hot here in Hawaii. It, you know, we get in the 90s sometimes, but it can be stifling, but it's 85 to 90 almost every day. So yeah. You get used to it after a while.
Yeah. But you have the moisture too and the rains. We just have dry heat.
Yeah. When do you feel like your gym had like made it or kind of turned the corner where you guys were like, this is, or maybe you're not there yet, but.
what's your metric?
Yeah. Money coming in or money going out, I guess, is kind of the metric, so to speak. You know, people have different metrics, but on like a business standpoint.
On a business standpoint?
Yeah.
We grow every year.
Okay.
On a when do you feel successful standpoint? We have an outstanding community of people who are a joy to be with on a day in and day out basis. And that's a win right there. I mean, I have always like my thought is it's better to have fewer people who are awesome than a bunch of dicks and be making a bunch of money. So I love our athletes. They have a great time together. We have a great time together in class.
Yeah.
Work hard. And I think that's the key for me because it makes it enjoyable on a daily basis.
Yeah. You know, we've really cultivated from the beginning a space that everyone is welcome at. Doesn't matter where you've come from, what you're dealing with, physically, mentally, emotionally, everyone is welcome. However, you do not bring your drama into the gym. We are all there to work hard. And it's a very open space. It's a really diverse community. And, you know, everybody's working at their own level. And we have had very little problem with, you know, what we've seen in a lot of other gyms in terms of drama or issues or giant egos or all of that. And we've learned over the years, you know, we've definitely had some learning moments of learning over the years of how to spot it quickly and how to shift it before it can, you know, set a seed in the
cancer.
And that's really, really important. So success metric in terms of that is great. I would say on all the, you know, empirical, like bad, you know, business metric, I think it's just an evolutionary thing. I mean, so about last October, we sat down and things were good and successful, but burnout is high. We had a long time. We had a fantastic team before COVID, and COVID just shot that team to smithereens. And in the last year, we finally got back, I would say in 24, early 24, maybe mid 24, we got back to a team that we feel really just incredibly proud of and really proud to invest in and love our coaches and love our, you know, collaborators. And when that happened, I would say that's when we really saw our business metrics increase, level out, get steady. But we also in October, after getting some of that team firmed up, we're able to start an optimization program. And we started in with Chris Cooper's Two Brain. We have a fantastic coach with Two Brain. And we're just watching every single month that we can spend time as owners implementing what our coach gives us, that we just see nothing but growth.
Tell me a little bit about Two Brain. I don't think I've
familiar with that. They're really great. I mean, and Chris, I believe at one point did work for headquarters, HQ. But the thing that he saw with HQ, in all of the brilliance of the methodology and everything it gives us around fitness, nutrition, you know, tackling terminal disease, you know, attacking what good food is and being involved in your community and creating good community space for, you know, tackling comorbidities and health and all the medical stuff. What it didn't give us traditionally from Glassman is a business model. And in a certain way, I used to be a dancer. I've run a lot of studios and art spaces before I was a contractor. And the thing that has always intrigued me about CrossFit is in a certain way, they just picked up the financial model of existing health facilities. Pay your coaches $25 an hour, pay your studio classes X, or do a split of percentage, like models that have been around for decades and frankly don't work because they don't give coaches, employees, or independent contractors a long-term path for career. And so you end up seeing in CrossFit, you know, a pattern of owners who have passion. They start their passion, they burn out, they can't cultivate staff who's going to stay around long term because they don't have career pathways developed. And pretty soon, you know, they're going on sale, they're closing down, or some of them successfully go to a co-op model, or you get, you know, the bigger gyms and facilities that create side programs, you know, to really fund it, whether that's product or programming or comp pathways or anything like that. So it's been a commitment of ours to try to create pathways for our team so that we don't have the turnover and we're not in a constant state of training and wasting money doing that. And TwoBrain really felt like a pathway to help not only grow our personal like finance, like we want to be successful on every level. Mm-hmm. We want financial success as much as we want mental, physical, you know, and spiritual success. So TwoBrain Business, it's called TwoBrain Business, has a few pathways to help optimize your business. And it's really personal. If you do their one-on-one coaching, it's very much looking at where your business is now and then giving you special projects to strengthen the weak parts of the business. And for a lot of people, maybe they just start right with the economics, you know, mm-hmm. and the metrics and go like, okay, in order to just like, let's tackle this. But it might be starting with member support. It might be starting with goals of bringing in new members. Maybe you don't have a lead program. Maybe you don't have a lead sourcing or follow-up program. Maybe you don't have any marketing or PR or understand how to be using that effectively. So each of those are kind of different projects that they help, you know, coach you through. And they've got, you know, a lot of, you know, processes that are set up to help you find how to use them successfully.
That sounds like a great program.
Yeah.
Especially because there's a lot of owners who, just like you specified there, that have a passion for this and can get everything rolling. And then after about a year, then there's some issues. And without some kind of structure or without, you know, without some sort of program, they can be kind of out there lost in space. And a lifetime ago, I used to help regular health clubs. I used to travel around the United States, and it was the same. I know CrossFit is a different animal, but same thing with opening a business, having a passion for something and knowing how to run a business are two separate things. But if you can mesh them, you can be fairly successful. And a lot of times, you know, in my experience, sometimes I got to get out of my own way or help somebody get out of their own way. A lot of times is the issue, so to speak. Not always, but.
Well, and I feel like affiliate owners, people who get into being an affiliate and actually opening the gym, mm-hmm. they have passion in spades. They have desire to help people get better and hold space for people's journeys and teach them what they've learned. And we can all be at different levels of experience. You can have an L1 opening who's brand new on their journey of being a teacher, and you can have older coaches who have tons of other education and outside of just CrossFit. But ultimately, we've all fallen in love with the methodology and how it feeds the whole person and all of our metabolics and everything who we are as a physical human here. But if you are sacrificing that over your financial success, there's not a lot more. There's going to be a moment that you tap out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I fully believe those of us who have that passion, if we prioritized making money, this world would be a better place, because how we would use that money and put it back into the system is much more beneficial than how I see a lot of people who have the resources doing it. Mm-hmm. So So I think, you know, get in there and optimize your business and make as much as you can, because most likely you're going to be the people that puts it back into your community, keeps growing your programs and offerings, and can reach more people and affect and change more lives.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. Really good stuff. So you guys would definitely recommend the Two Brain to.
Yeah, there's some others out there. It's like, I would just say, whether you want to, you know, tough it out on your own, like take an accounting class, take a business economics class, start seeing how that applies. But if you really want to accelerate, jump in with a program who is really focused on health and fitness and who knows how to optimize for that specific business. Otherwise, you know, you're creating the wheel. So why spend all of these years putting your effort into recreating the wheel when, like buying the good barbell, you can invest in yourself and the growth of your business, and you'll make back that investment?
That's right.
It's definitely, if you're even thinking about opening a gym, it's definitely worth spending the money and starting the program before you get there. So you get a lot of work done before you open the doors. Because once you open the doors and you let the water in, it's going to start pushing you, like getting caught in floodwaters, right? And you're not going to be able to swim upstream. So it's definitely worth doing a lot of that, you know, paperwork before you open the doors. And then you can refine it once you're there and you see the reality of the situation.
It's just like movement mechanics. You know, one thing we say about our gym is we really prioritize movement mechanics. Like, you come to us and you're learning to move well first. Because if you keep those patterns and you learn technique and the right technique for your body, you're going to be able to make gains and change all the other domains as you go forward. And wherever you go, whether you leave us or you go work at a Globo gym, or you just want to do running and you want to become a runner, you're going to take those mechanics with you no matter where you go. And you're going to take them for your whole life. Build the foundation first, right? Learn where to place your feet and where to turn them out for your body to squat well. It's the same thing in this, like build the foundation for your business as you get into it. And you're not going to have to go backwards and like bail out the basement when it's flooding and you're too busy on the upper floor, you know, trying to run the business.
Yeah. Trying to get all the water out with the little pail in your hands. Yeah.
Yeah. I think back to your question about what we would do differently. I've done that.
Yeah.
Too, in the beginning.
Have you guys tried anything that's kind of flopped, like classes, services, products, anything like that?
Yes. We had a CrossFit Kids program. Right now we have CrossFit Teens through a Legends class. You know, we have people in their 80s. But CrossFit Kids in some way just didn't take in our community. The kids who took part in it loved it, absolutely loved it. But we didn't get a lot of traction in terms of numbers. I think more than what we tried flopping, it was really an issue of parents' times, multiple siblings, school timing, you know, what works through the day. And there's a chance we'll bring it back at some point. We get a lot of requests for it, but that program didn't go. And then struggling with the studio program, how to work with independent contractors who might teach something different. Like, yoga has been a regular ongoing thing in our gym. But when people, studio teachers have come in, we had a capoeira program for a long time. And we put a lot of value into investing in that program because it's not a language people know here. We knew it was going to be a 6-month, you know, buy-in education thing in the community. After 2 years or longer, it just never took off.
What was that program again? I'm sorry.
Capoeira. It's a Brazilian martial art.
Okay.
It's phenomenal. We would they have a gathering called a roda where many practitioners come from all over. We would have hundreds of people fill the gym once a year for this giant event, but locally could not get traction to have ongoing classes to teach it. So in one thing, I feel like we flop sometimes when we don't just stay close to our core offerings, totally invest in our core offerings. And then if it feels like there's a good collaborator or teacher or some other source of good knowledge that wants to come partner with us, explore that. But it's really got to be on them in a certain way to build it, not on us when it's not our base of knowledge. Does that make sense?
And you currently have yoga. Is that something that you've integrated? Is that a separate membership, or is that included with?
It's included.
Okay. Yeah.
You can come and do it from an outside. Like, the public's welcome to come and do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a member. It's a class.
Let's talk it here. We'll give you the overview of our system. So our gym management system from the beginning, and we have checked out and still, like, regularly we'll check out the new ones, you know, coming out, but we're with Wadhopper. Michael Kloster is Wadhopper. It's definitely a smaller gym management system. The thing we absolutely love about it is that when we have a problem, we call and we get help immediately. And we often get help from Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever problems or glitches or thing we need to create that might be outside the normal Wadhopper program, they create and find a solution really quickly. So that customer service is worth its weight in gold. And we don't feel like, when we've interviewed any other platform, that we will get the kind of customer service we get from Wadhopper. So that's our base gym offering. And then in terms of our style, even remodeling the building or our membership, we try to keep it as simple as possible, right? The KISS model, like, keep it simple, stupid. Yeah. So we try to keep everything that we can included in our memberships. So if we add a program, our members have access to it. And then within our membership, we have CrossFit as our main offering, open gym, yoga, other studio classes that have filtered in and out, but they'll be a part of it. We do overall community nutrition coaching and a lot of educational clinics and workshops. For the past few years, you know, Easy Elijah Muhammad will come teach Olympic lifting workshop, lift heavy workshops. They're fantastic seminars. So we'll bring in teachers who do outside seminars, but we also do clinics and, like, pelvic floor health, squat dynamics, you know, different very particular movement techniques, gymnastics. We've had handstand clinics. And then we do a lot of community, which is for our entire community, Ukiah, Mendocino, non-CrossFitters and our members alike. We'll do different WADS workouts, family days, holiday celebrations. And then we do a lot of community events. We have a great Christmas holiday party, fun little things that happen for families around, you know, Halloween and different other times through the year. So that's kind of the whole spiel. And then the only things we charge extra for outside of our membership structures are, we have a massage space and a masseuse on site who our members can sign up with, and they just pay him directly. We also have physical therapy, and you can sign up and get in with a physical therapist within 1 to 2 weeks, which in our town, you usually can't get in within 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a great relationship with a physical therapy practice, and you just pay them. If you're doing one-on-one, you pay extra for that. And same if you're doing one-on-one private training or nutrition coaching, that's extra. We also have a sauna, cold plunge,
okay,
full locker rooms, showers.
Your gym sounds very familiar to the current gym that I go to, CrossFit Kona. Yep.
Oh, great.
It's a great thriving gym nice. Here. And I think you answered quite a few of the questions that I had coming up here. Well, let me ask you this. What have you guys have definitely ventured other CrossFit gyms, I'm sure, when you're traveling. What do you think's unique about your gym's vibe or, like, community? What do you think would set you apart?
Our gym's very clean.
Okay. Okay.
We have showers.
Okay.
You know, the communities are so different. I mean, depending on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very heavy master's athlete, and I mean, like, 35 and up master's athlete community. Lots and lots of families. We mm-hmm. don't have a gym where people are like, hey, I'm done with my workout, I'm going to hang out for 2 more hours and keep working out and roll out and et cetera. Right. You know, we've got a very commuter gym. People come in when mm-hmm. their kids are asleep, they work out, they go home, they get their kids out, they go to school. I mean, it's like, bam, bam, bam. So there are a few outliers there, but, you know, and every community is different. You know, if you're in a college town, you probably have a ton of people hanging out. So, I mean, that's a little different, but the things that really stand out to me are we have a very clean gym.
Yeah.
It's just, that's the way it is. You know, I mean, yeah. I've been to a bunch and.
We prioritized it from the beginning though. And, you know, even the flooring that we chose is like very humane flooring. We were really, as a natural builder, you know, we mm-hmm. paid a lot of attention to air quality and what as athletes are we coming into contact with, especially when our pores are wide open mm-hmm. and we're sweating everywhere. And so it's been just a real priority to keep it really clean. You know, we invested in a great Zamboni. I call it the Zamboni. I don't know what it's actually called, but you know, the floor cleaner and we keep the, you know, the corners clean and wipe down. We've got a good cleaning crew. And
I mean, that's a good point. And that's one of the places we actually, that was some of that upfront money, you mm-hmm. know, floor costs us a fortune, but you can be in your bare feet in our gym all day long and your feet are look like your feet when you're done.
Yeah, and we're not.
They don't look like you have, you know, black socks on.
Yeah, we call those background from 7-Eleven feet when you have. Yeah.
So, which is nice, you know, it feels good. Like your knees aren't black when you're doing 100 burpees. It's like you actually, your hands don't turn color. So it feels good. It feels clean.
Mm-hmm.
I think it adds to it feeling healthy.
We have some good stuff too. I mean, a lot of gyms do. We don't sell a lot of product or anything like that. Local restaurant who does a prepped meal service so people can order their meals and they can come in. We, you know, through this season is great because it's starting to be harvest season, and between our members and fruit trees that we have, we planted 2 persimmon trees right at the front of our parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
This time of year we just start harvesting fruit and there's just like fruit and, you know, kind of bounty available. I think a lot of CrossFit gyms have a lot of generous members, but our members are really generous, you know, in terms of sharing, bringing stuff in.
Mm-hmm. It's mango season right now and I've got a mango tree right out the window here. So there's a lot of mangoes.
That's very awesome.
That mm-hmm. is very awesome. I'm jealous.
That is very, very awesome.
Bananas, you know, we of course, very, very tropical fruits here. And there's always quite a bit of them. And there's some things that when I first moved here, I like a mountain apple. I had no idea what that is, but I do now.
A mountain apple.
What's that?
Yeah, what is it? What's a mountain apple?
It's almost like an apple. It's a little smaller, not quite as sweet, but they're good. They have like a real good consistency.
Crab apple, right?
Sort of, yes. Yep, kind of like that. As far as, let's see here, we've run a long time, so I apologize. Hopefully you guys are good with that. So I'm going to try to get through a couple of these last things that I think are important.
We're good, Seth.
Okay.
You know, the other thing though, I would say to that last question, as I'm thinking about it, is FIRD has been to a lot of different affiliates all over the country. I've been to a few and I think a really big thing is there are a few I've walked in and not really been welcomed. And mm-hmm. FIRD is much more of the big conditioned athlete. I really do this for my health and longevity, but I'm not a big, like, I'm really going to push myself. I do, but there have been gyms I've walked into and like, nobody really welcomed me.
You mm-hmm.
know, they knew yep. I was dropping in or I paid, but they weren't really like, hey, meet the members in this class or, you know, and so then you're just there having an isolated experience. We get a lot of drop-ins for whatever reason. And I feel like our community and what we prioritize is making everybody feel welcome, even if they're just there for one experience. And I think that goes a long way. And it goes a long way to like cultivating the larger CrossFit community, which mm-hmm. All of us as affiliates, it's so unusual, right? Because for most part, I feel like you can, as a CrossFitter, drop into any affiliate anywhere in the world. And you are welcomed to do that. But are you welcomed on a personal level or are you just welcomed because you're a CrossFitter?
Right. I've had the same exact experience. I've gone to a gym where nobody, the coach didn't introduce, you know, there was members didn't talk, you know, talk to me, anything. And when I left, I was like, you know, I got a good workout, but you missed that whole part of, you know, where are you from, you know, all those things that, you know, and that's also important as being a member is like when I see somebody, for example, come into our gym and they're kind of standing off by themselves, it's always a good thing to do, just go up, introduce themselves and, you know, on a, like a personal level. But if it's not cultivated regularly by the coaches and things like that, then I can see how it falls to the wayside. And especially, you know, like you mentioned how clean your gym is. It's, you know, it's the attention to detail. Sometimes, you know, on the back end, you don't know why a member left. Sometimes, you know, they just stop showing up, and it could have been because, like you said, the corners were dirty, you know, along with, of course, it's much safer, much nicer, but all those little things, attention to detail, can help really help keep members around.
Well, the other thing on that note, if you drop into a gym or somebody drops into your gym and you don't take the time to introduce them, or you don't ask them any questions and find out who they are, you might miss something very valuable that they're walking into your gym with that mm-hmm. you can't see, right? Maybe they're a level 3 coach. Maybe they're a CrossFit Games athlete. Maybe they're fucking Dave Castro's brother. Who knows? I don't know. You know, and you don't know because you don't investigate it, where if you actually can tease some of that, who they are, out of them, you might find something. You might be like gold nuggets all over the place. You know, who knows? They might be an Olympic lifter. Mm-hmm. Competes, you know, yeah. You, great, you want to teach a little class, you know, I mean, who knows, you never know.
Yeah, we had a good story during COVID. You know, Vegas is shut down, Cirque du Soleil is shut down. There happened to be a local woman here who started circus here and worked her way up to Cirque du Soleil. Mm-hmm. She's a high level performer, and she was in town and had nowhere to train, and her mom contacted me. I've been a dance teacher in town, and somebody reached out through various people and said, hey, would you consider letting her come into the space? And our ceilings in two parts of the gym just happened to be tall enough. Mm-hmm. And she ended up coming in and training. And then she did a fantastic, you know, aerial like workshop, which is all this amazing shoulder and upper body strength. Mm-hmm. Like, talk about an unusual exchange. And we're still in touch with her. We just saw her in Vegas after she just got off of the Beatles Cirque du Soleil show. And, you know, that's one of those connections. Mm-hmm. You're going to miss these special opportunities.
Did you make her learn snatches or anything like that while she was there?
No.
No, okay.
No.
She was actually rehabilitating a labrum tear.
No. We didn't. We gave her a space and...
Yeah.
There was some
great woman
warm up and small muscle stuff that we exchanged with each other.
She taught us stuff that we still use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We integrated a lot of how she trains and
rehabs,
recovers, and warms up her shoulders. And it's been integrated into our program ever since she influenced it.
Yeah. Good stuff. She brought
That is good. Like you said, you would have never known that if you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stories like that. Like Tim Dimmel, who's been an affiliate owner for eons, this guy, fantastic, walks into the gym one day as a drop-in, and pretty soon, you know, Ferd's introducing, they're in conversation. I think there was a lot of hanging out that happened, you know, after class.
Well, the other cool thing about that actually is we were doing a partner workout that day, and Tim partnered up with somebody who hadn't been doing CrossFit for a year. And so what people got to see is like, wow, here comes this guy who's been in the games, and here he's like, feel like he's gonna work out with her. And it's like, yeah, and it was great because he's not mm-hmm. there to go. He's not there to go like, hey, look, I was a games athlete. He's like, hey, I'm in for a workout and having a good time,
right?
Like, great. And everyone gets to see that, like, hey, these are like, they're just real, we're just people yeah. are just people, you know, which was awesome. It was super awesome. Super
a couple more questions and a couple more things to cover. Marketing, how do you guys do any marketing, or is it more word of mouth? If you want to just talk about that just a little bit.
Well, you're going to love this, but we had a friend of ours as a business consultant, and we did have a nonprofit in town early on that helps, and especially women in business or small businesses. So we met with him and we did do some of what they said, setting up the business. But over the years, we affectionately became known as the non-business business, because we didn't for years have a website. Mm-hmm. We had a phone number, we had an address, we did not have social media. And what was fantastic, honestly, for the first few years of running like that, is that people had to find us. And I thoroughly 100% believe that the core of our membership, who's been with us many for the full 10 years that we've been affiliated, you know, 8 to 10 years for some of them, the core of our membership worked to find us. And people who have to work a little bit, and by work, I mean call and have a personal conversation or show up at our door. I don't think that's a ton of work, but in today's world with texting and social media, that seems like a lot of work to people. So if the members who put in that work are still our members. Mm-hmm. And I think that is just kind of a pointer to the kind of people that they are, right? They're going to show up to do the hard wad. They're going to show up for themselves in class every day because they showed up to walk through the door and make an introduction. So we were the anti-business business for a long time. And it wasn't until, I bet 3 or 4 years in, maybe more, that we set up a website that's still a fairly basic website. And we set up social media. Now we've always kind of done graphic, you know, flyers and posting around town, emailing our members, bring a friend day, inviting people in. But a lot of it for years, our growth was only word of mouth. It was really, yeah, word of mouth, either who you know or how to come in, or you just had the gumption and you showed up and was like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And that still happens a lot. But now we do have, you know, whole platforms around social media and marketing and lead generation. And we have kind of a 90-day like ramp, a small, actually 4-session on ramp, but we track people for about 90 days in terms of, you know, education, information, engagement, experience. And we do generate, you know, we go to health fairs now and do a little more publicity and a little more outreach. But it felt like a natural, it mm-hmm. felt like a natural evolution within the growth of the business versus like setting it all up in the beginning and feeling like we have to do this thing. Mm-hmm. We stayed focused on what the programming and the internal process was as long as we needed to. And then when it felt like, oh, okay, there's been a shift in this phase, let's go ahead and set up the website and the promotional programs.
And overall, the lion's share of new members come into CrossFit affiliates normally word of mouth. I mean, when it's all said and done, of course, you can draw in some, there's ways to draw in some other members, but nothing's better than come follow me. You're going to be sore for like a week. You're probably going to hate it, but give it a while and you're going to love it. You know, that's kind of how I promote.
It's hard, right? Showing up is the hardest thing to do.
It is.
And, you know, getting through that few week process where it's the hardest hour of your day, but you feel mm-hmm. the best you have ever felt. Mm-hmm.
It makes the other 23 real easy, actually, is what I found. So we talked a little bit about revenue, and you think you mentioned a lot of this, the additional revenue that you bring in other than memberships. Some of the things that some gyms do, nutrition coaching, merchandise, apparel, events, competitions, supplements, retail. Do you guys participate? Do you guys do any stuff like that at all?
Some swag.
Some swag. Okay.
Some swag.
Yeah.
No, not much. It's not a big focus, but yeah, a little bit of that. You know, we haven't done any competitions.
Okay.
We do a few extra programs that we charge for, but not much.
Yeah. We've participated in competitions outward, but we haven't done one in the space. We talk about it a lot through the years. But yeah, the usual apparel, everything from sweatshirts to sweats, tank tops, t-shirts, all of that. Cups, we've got towels, we've got, you know, water bottles, we've got all kinds of, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. But no, we don't do a lot of extra programs. We carried FitAid for a while. We have a kind of partnership with a great local store called Mendo Muscle, and he really carries all of the supplements and all of the stuff that we often recommend to people, and also has a great smoothie bar and IV infusions and all kinds of auxiliary complimentary services. So we kind of let somebody who does that well, and that's their core focus, really do it. And he comes to the gym a lot, sets up shop. You know, we do health fairs together a lot, but no, we try to keep it simple and really optimize what our main program is.
So just cross promotion sounds like.
If you add something to your, you know, that takes effort to accomplish, like weighing out a scoop of protein, or unless it's an easy transaction, it takes time to do it. You need to train somebody to do it. It's going to cost more money to do it. You're going to need somebody. Right? We have a space where we could have a smoothie bar at the front, but someone's got to be there making smoothies.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay the person to make the smoothies to be there. And it's so, you know, it's just, it's another layer of, mm-hmm. You know, standard operating procedures, somebody to pay and so forth, unless it's all you. And if it's all you, it's going to drain you pretty quickly.
Yep. Well, it's either you're a CrossFit gym or a Jamba Juice, you know.
Yeah. There are people who specialize in that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. People have wanted us to do it. It's the same with our programming and programs. You know, or adding classes. Like, we have one class on the weekend and one area of open gym and one yoga class. And otherwise, until we have coaches that will step up and regularly want to commit to the weekends, mm-hmm. we work that time for our family. You know, when we started, there's tons of programs on paper that we would love to offer. And FERD in particular was always very clear. I can only do what is sustainable for me. And if a coach has to fall out, it's going to fall on us. So build the programs as we have the capacity for them to be secure long-term versus launching with a whole field of programs and then having to cancel some because you find out they're poorly attended or you just aren't covering your costs or making money mm-hmm. for them. So the same thing has been true for us in terms of products, supplements, all of the things that affiliates could do. We will only add them in if it really makes sense from community wanting it and having the support to really fund those programs or make money from them. And there probably are some out there that we could put our attention to that would do that. But right now our focus is so taken up, we don't have the time to put our attention there.
Right. The current gym that I go to, they have an actual vending machine mm-hmm. with everything from the WOD tape to, you know, so it seems like it's pretty low maintenance type of way to offer some things that, you know, they've got wraps and then, you know, just everything that kind of, you know, CrossFitters use on a daily basis, all the fit aids, protein drinks and things like that. And it looks like it's just an easy stock it, and which seems like an easy way to do that. But I don't know how that is on the back end, but it seems pretty easy to put just a vending machine, then you don't really have to mess with anything.
Yeah, no doubt. That's definitely a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So let's see here. What's next for your gym? Any new growth, services, expansion, anything like that?
10-year anniversary party.
Okay. Sounds well deserved too.
Yeah, we have an exciting, right now we're in conversation with our yoga instructor who's also trained, just finished her certifications around strength and recovery for prenatal and postnatal work. She's done a lot of work like that in the gym, but she's starting to want to increase that. So we might be adding those classes as offering soon. And there's nothing like that in our area. That also includes like pelvic floor strength and conditioning and more auxiliary support for moms pre their journey and post their journey, which post mm-hmm. journey as a mom is your whole life. supportive and complementary to what people are doing for CrossFit in terms of their strength and conditioning, but might be a time period where you need to focus in a different way before you mm-hmm. build back into the program. So that's a program we're really looking at. I'm trying to think what else. We're about to revamp our Legends program to have more educational components around nutrition and longevity and specific topics that are important for aging. We're just going to integrate it right into the program. Anything else we're adding? And then we just have a ton of events coming up from, Chad's coming up and Bring Friend Days and Christmas events and holidays and lots of stuff in the pike.
Yeah, the current gym that I go to now, he has Friday Night Lights. It's once a month where we do a hero wad, and it's pretty exciting potluck. It's a really good time. So
yeah, how is that going? We've actually been thinking about doing this, and that might be a side conversation, but we've been talking about doing a monthly hero wad either on Friday night or Saturday mornings.
It goes great. There's just a 40-50. I mean, the current gym that I go to, I think there's 160 members mm-hmm. and it draws probably 70-80 of the members, and big potluck. It's a really good time. It's
you get 40 to 50% of the gym membership in for a Friday Night Lights to do a hero wad.
Yep.
Awesome.
Not a whole lot going on here on the Big Island. There's not a whole bunch of nightlife, but aside from that, it's a great community. Everybody looks forward to it. It's promoted heavily, you know, every day with each coach is going to mention it. And he also puts the top five men and women. He's got a big board up top. So you'll be permanently up there. So Dave is at the top of his game when it comes to creating revenue, creating a lot of the things that you guys did as far as community and things like that. He's really, really, really good. But I really look forward to it. The prior gym I went to, he had Friday Night Lights every Friday night, which was really just a Olympic lift kind of workout for the first 45 minutes. And then basically an RX plus type of wad that would only draw about 10 or 15 of us crazy, crazy guys and gals in there on that Friday night. But this is a much bigger, bigger thing. So it might be worth looking into if you get some participation. It's a lot of fun. People bring their kids. It's a potluck. It's just a big community thing that you can kind of do once a month. We don't have to wait, you know, you don't have to wait for a holiday or something like that, for example.
Yeah.
What would you tell someone thinking about opening or starting a gym today?
Well, start off with, you know, a business mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Be one good thing to do.
I would say do it.
Definitely do it. I wouldn't not do it for sure. It's a great way to help people. Like the space you're in,
mm-hmm.
you know, plan and like the space you're in because you're going to spend a lot of time there. Mm-hmm. Go to a bunch of other gyms and see what you like and see what you don't like. Make a list and don't do the things you don't like. Because it's easy to lose sight of those things, you know, but write it down.
I would say take your time to do the research and plan your foundation. But ask yourself one core critical question, because if you're doing it in your passion, you have to realize that once you open your business, it's not about CrossFit. It's not about fitness. And ultimately, it's not really about health. Those are all the outcomes. But running a business means you're running a business. And so know that you're going to be spending your time doing admin, accounting, and, you know, all of the other certifications, licenses, like all those other relational things that when we think about running a CrossFit gym or starting this new exciting endeavor, we don't really always understand how much time you spend doing being the graphic designer and the promoter, or being the producer and the bill payer and the bookkeeper. So be realistic about what you're doing in your business. And go for your passion. And if you build in, you know, those, you know, what, if you build in your time and are clear about what it means to run the business, you're going to enjoy and be able to put a lot more of your good energy into the content and the why you open the business and keep it there. A lot of people fall in love with their hobbies and then start it as a business and they stop enjoying their hobby.
Mm-hmm.
So, and buy nice barbells.
Yeah. Buy nice equipment. Love it for you. Like, make sure you love the space and that you are going to use it and you're going to be fed by it. Because if you're fed by it as the owner, everybody you're serving will have a great experience.
Well, Tracy and Ferdinand, I feel like we could talk for a couple more hours. This has been some great information that I'm sure is going to help quite a few gym owners and people potentially opening gyms. So I want to thank you guys very much for your time today. And we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks for reaching out, Seth.
Yeah, it's great to meet you and talk to you too.